Oh, Damien.
Yes.
It's podcast 51.
Oh, like Area 51.
Like Area 51.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were getting I thought I was getting the punchline. Okay.
Folks, that is what passes for a punchline.
This is what passes for preparation.
No, we prepared. We drove all the way home from the ice skating rink thinking of jokes and writing them down.
Yes.
Using a pencil provided by our daughter.
Because I didn't have a pen on me today.
I know. That's how much on vacation he is. He didn't have a pen on him, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, welcome to our podcast. I'm Simca Fisher.
I am the husband.
He's the husband. His name is Damien, and he gets dragged along on any number of things. Ice skating, podcasts, marriages, 51.
I mean, I am partially responsible for some of this stuff.
It's true. Whose idea was it to get married? Do you remember?
I do, but I'm not going to say on a podcast.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to our podcast anyway. we have a couple of things. Well, we have more than a couple of things that we wanted to talk about. One thing is that, as you perhaps know, it's almost the end of the year. It's almost the end of 2017. I haven't seen a lot of, like...
Thank goodness.
I know. I haven't seen a tremendous amount of, you know, memorable things of 2017 or top 10 or top... And I think it's everybody's just like, let's just close the door quietly. You know, nobody seems capable of spending a lot of time thinking over every last part of 2017 because it's just too fresh. It's still too fresh, right?
Because most years you can say, well, that was a good year, or well, that was a
lot
of
ups and downs.
A lot of ups and downs, but I think next year's going to be great.
Yeah.
We're all just like, okay, next year.
Okay, yeah.
Let's. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah. So, although in our own family, I have to say, one of the things that we accomplished is that we managed to raise a almost 3-year-old who was very, very much like an only child.
That was quite an accomplishment.
We kept on. I've been telling, you know, as you perhaps know, we have 10 children, and the youngest is named Corey. She's almost 3 years old. She's a little bit spoiled. All of our kids have been somewhat spoiled when they were the youngest. And in previous years, we've thought, well, all we have to do is wait for the new baby to be born, and then the kid won't be spoiled anymore. And it's always worked.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 43.
10th baby, folks. So,
yeah, it's like we don't have a plan B.
We are open to life, but the kitchen has got to close at some point.
Okay. So we don't really know what to do. We kept on telling the kids that, oh, we were all spoiled at this age. Oh, all 2-year-olds act like this. And the other day, I'm looking at her, and the kids are like, but we were all like this at that age. And I thought, no, this is bad. Here's what happened. I had bought one of those panettone cakes, or however you pronounce it. It's those nice Italian, like, eggy kind of bready cakes with the candied orange peels in them and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I could eat. Okay, I did eat most of it by myself, I'll admit it. But not only are they delicious, and not only were they cheap, but they were on sale. They were 50% off. So I brought one home. And it's wrapped up in this fancy, like, foil, sort of fabric-y foil stuff with a big, shiny bow on top. It was a beautiful thing, and it had this wonderful cake inside, and I was kind of excited about it because it's cake. And so I was showing it to Corey. I said, oh, should we open this now? And she said yes. And I thought, oh crap, she thinks it's a present. And I said, it looks like a present, but it's cake. It's a cake present. Should we open the cake present and we'll find cake inside? And she says, but it isn't. And I thought, oh damn it. Like, because once she says, but it isn't, then there's no, she knows.
There's no going back.
There's no going back. There's all, you know, the only way up is down at this point. So I keep on repeating to her, this is cake inside. We're going to open it up and there's cake inside. And she keeps saying, but it isn't. Okay. All right. So I help. Do you want to help me? I thought for some reason, maybe if she helps me open it, she would be more excited to find cake inside.
Yeah, sure.
So she pulls on the ribbon. She opens it up. And what do you know? It's a cake inside.
And how does she react?
Flips out, screaming, howling, gnashing her teeth. But it isn't cake. It isn't cake. It isn't cake. And I felt bad. She has a lot of tantrums, and you know, most of the time I growl at her and I ignore her and I step over her and stuff. But she thought it was gonna be a present and it was cake, and I felt bad because it's still Christmas, and you know, it was basically, it's in the Bible, you know, what mother would tell her, give her, her daughter asks for a present and she gives her cake instead. Well, okay, I mean,
what mother says, here, have some cake, and then gives her cake. And then the child wants a present.
Well, I guess you had to be there. Because she was genuinely sad and disappointed.
But
and
she also, when we went ice skating.
Okay, but let me finish the story, though. So, at this point, I'm still thinking to myself, this is reasonable for a child to be disappointed. Because, you know, we had just opened a ton of presents and they all had wonderful things inside. They had space guns and they had tea sets and excellent, wonderful things that she actually wanted. And this was just a friggin' cake. It wasn't even, you know, it was like a bread cake. It was not the kind of cake that she was interested in at all. So I thought, this is a legitimate disappointment. And I felt bad for her, tears rolling down her cheeks and everything. And I suddenly remembered that we had done so much Christmas shopping that we hadn't actually given her all of her presents because we took, Betty went shopping one time, but she didn't find everything. And then we went shopping at the dollar store and we forgot we went shopping the first time.
We still have Christmas presents from a couple of years ago.
We have little things stashed away all over the place. It's terrible. If we ever do this Swedish death cleaning, people are going to wonder just like what the hell we were up to, you know, between that and our secret boxes of mystery. Anyway, so... So I think, okay, wait, stay here. I'll get you a present. Mama will get you a present. I'm listening to myself a little bit. I'm like, but she's sad. She's genuinely sad. She has a genuine grievance here. So I run over to my room and it's just little things. It's two things that cost $1 each. It was a pair of Mickey Mouse socks and a little wooden fire engine. Okay. Not a big deal. Nobody's turning into, you know, Veruca Salt over these things.
Does it break your leg or pick your pocket?
No.
Okay.
No, it does not. And it's still the Christmas season. So I wrap them up in the cake wrapping, unfortunately, which proved to be an unfortunate choice, and I give it to her.
Oh, did she have a tantrum?
No! Not wrapped like that! Not wrapped like that is okay,
so
okay.
So what did you do?
Well, she said that she sort of angrily demanded kitty cat wrapping paper, which we did have in the house, but I couldn't find. So I sent the girls off to get puppy wrapping paper, which I happen to know that we have, and I wrapped it in puppy wrapping paper.
Was that acceptable?
No, she cried and she screamed and she said, no, not. And then they ran and they fed. And at this point, I was starting to think this is a bit much. but I couldn't. I was in too deep. Yeah. I was in too deep. And this is the point where the other girls, ages, you know, 10 and 8, were saying, did we act like this at this age? And I said, no.
We had our shit together when you were that age.
I know. I don't know what happened. So finally we found some old rumpled kitty cat wrapping paper and we wrapped it up and we gave it to her and she opened it up and there's still tear tracks on her cheeks and she's got her Mickey Mouse socks and we're, you know, singing hosannas and like throwing rose petals in front of these Mickey Mouse socks to make them appealing to her. And she sort of angrily consented to have them on her feet and she ran her fire. It was a truck. It's not a fire engine. She needed me to know there was not a fire engine. It was a truck. And then she had some cake.
Well.
So if anybody has any ideas about what to do, as long as it's not too hard.
And it's, we're not having another kid, folks.
No. I mean, no, come on. That's not a
reasonable solution.
No, it's not a reasonable solution. I'm sorry I took so long telling that story. I guess
that's
confession is good for the soul, right?
I guess so.
We're working on saying no to her. It's not easy.
We need to have a family meeting. We did have to have a family meeting when another one of our little girls was about two, a little bit younger than this. And we did have to actually get everybody together and say, guys, you have to say no to her. And she's going to get mad and she might hit you or bite you. But you still have to say no to her.
And the others turned out okay. They seem fine.
She's a great kid now.
She's all right. Yeah. I like her.
Well, she's getting into a tricky age, but she's been really great up until this.
She's had a good long run because we've been saying no to her. So
exactly.
It's just horrible.
I don't know how to have kids. I don't know how to raise kids.
I know less and less about it. That's all I know. You want to talk about Baby Driver?
Yes.
We had a long conversation about Baby Driver. Except I thought that.
Well, this was a couple of weeks ago. You were in the middle of a project, and we had received Baby Driver from our Netflix.
Yep.
Which we got to get a deal with them.
Yeah.
And any sponsors who wants to hook us up.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so we got Baby Driver, and you were doing stuff, and I was dealing with a somewhat unreasonable 3-year-old.
Yeah,
I don't know who
that would be.
And we ended up watching Boss Baby, which is just dreadful.
But the point of the story being...
But there were babies in it, and that was keeping someone amused.
Yeah, and we had this whole conversation about it with me under the impression that he had watched Baby Driver without me. And he under the impression that for some reason I desperately wanted to see Baby Boss Baby and was disappointed that he had...
Oh, did you just start it? Oh.
Well, how far into it are you? Well, is it any good? What? I thought it was supposed to be so good. Anyway, it went on like that for a while.
This was not as bad as our Nicolas Cage misunderstanding.
Yeah, the Nicolas Cage thing went on for like 8 years before
like
we
that.
Got it cleared up. We were both under the impression that the other one had this like special fondness for Nicolas
Cage
movies. And it turns out we both kind of don't care. Like, he's kind of weird looking. Like, wow, what's this with his hair?
He's made some pretty interesting movies and it's fun to watch occasionally.
Yeah. But neither one of us has a Nicolas Cage thing at all. And it's interesting to note that we both realized that at the same time because we both hit a wall with Nicolas Cage when we were watching that like skull motorcycle movie Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider. And
so
we
bad.
Both at the same time decided, well, I can't, this is too far. Even for my spouse, I will not watch this movie. And then it all sort of unraveled from there.
It's like the crappiest retelling of The Gift of the Magi.
Yeah.
Because there are no stakes involved here.
No, we were just sitting around.
We were watching TV and drinking beer.
How very, very beautiful.
This is bad. Yeah.
That's all right. I did
Baby
like
Driver.
Baby Driver, though. It was good.
It's fun. It moves right along.
Yep.
And it's an action musical. I don't know how else to put it.
That's a very good way of putting it. And it was, nobody in the movie was performing. I mean, the hook is that the main character has tinnitus from a traumatic event in his childhood, and to drown out the tinnitus and also to sort of drown out certain other things, he's playing music all the time, and he has all these different iPods and everything for different events, and so there's music playing constantly to the degree that when the music isn't playing, it's sort of a statement.
Right.
You definitely notice it when the music stops playing. And, oh, man, they shoot off guns to the rhythm of the music playing. They have street signs going by.
There's a chase sequence that might as well be Fred Astaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, some of it is gorgeous. It's one of those movies, after you see it, you realize, gosh, I need to rewatch that a couple of times and at least once in slow motion.
Yeah.
it's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't profound. It didn't have a ton of themes in it, really, and it could have. It certainly could have. It could have developed ideas about what it means to listen or what it means to, but it didn't want to.
It was a movie maker's movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And it didn't take its audience for granted at any point.
No.
It wasn't like, well, you've already seen 40% of this movie. We know you're not getting off the couch, so we're just going to blah for the rest. Like, it kept on throwing you things to keep you interested the whole way through.
It was they knew how to build to a big finish.
Yeah, and I didn't hate anything, and it had what's his name in it, and that was fine. I don't care.
Oh, Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
I mean, well, the thing is, he is a monster human being, but he's a wonderful actor.
Yeah. So. Honestly, I could have thought of a lot of actors who would have done just as well in that role. It wasn't like wow.
Yeah, but not a lot of other actors were willing to produce it, you know.
Oh, did he produce it?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we recommend it. Beautiful, saturated with color, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Which
very,
is,
very
yeah,
gorgeous to
just
look
for
at.
Somebody who likes movies, this you'll like this movie. I don't know what else can I say. So, yeah, that was nice.
All right. We're down to it now.
Yeah,
it's,
we
it's
got
the
a stupid
bit.
Thing. Yeah, we got a bit. We did a bit. we thought
oh boy, did we, ever.
So we did a bit of a bit, I would say a little bit,
kind
of. Yeah. New Year's resolutions for other people.
Right.
Yeah. Because 27 is that kind of year. You know what? 27. Fuck you. Basically. So we're going to make resolutions for other people.
And we're keeping, we are still not
excuse me,
doing anything political with the
nope.
podcast, but the first resolution is for Donald Trump, the president. I think next year he needs to make some phone calls or have somebody make phone calls for him and get an appointment with a real tailor. He's not, he's a big guy.
He's a lumpy guy.
He's kind of a lumpy guy. Yeah. I'm not saying he has to go to a gym, but go to a proper tailor.
Yes. It's amazing. It's amazing what well-fitting he could look clothes a lot better.
He doesn't have to shop off the rack.
It's strange, isn't it?
He could strange. Look pretty good with a decent fitting suit.
Yeah.
That's
I have a joke.
Okay.
I have a tailor joke. I have one of my very topical tailor jokes.
You are always whipping these out.
Yeah. Well, that's what.
Anyway.
Okay, so two guys are walking down the street and they see a guy coming out of a tailor shop. Wait a minute, let me make sure I get this right.
You are the worst at telling jokes.
I'm going to have to come back to it. I should have looked it up. I cannot be trusted at all. I can't. I can't do it. It's a funny joke. I'll put it on the website.
All right.
I'll put it on the website.
All right, so next up for resolutions, I think the Pope
yes.
should resolve to take a cooking class.
Cooking class.
Yes.
Why?
He seems like he enjoys to eat.
Yep.
He probably has a lot of, you know, strong opinions about what he likes to eat.
He does. He strikes me as somebody with strong opinions about food and some, like, strong opinions about how, the right way to cook.
I don't think he's cooked since his seminary days, let's be honest.
Yeah. And he's a ramen guy. He's a SpaghettiOs guy.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But I think it would give him a little bit of pleasure in life. It would give him, you know, some time away from the hustle and bustle of the papacy. Maybe, you know,
time away from microphones and airplanes. Yeah. Although he hasn't given any interviews lately, has he?
No, somebody, maybe. I think they're drugging him.
Maybe, I don't know. I haven't, he said something. I was looking for some reason on like Canon 212 or one of those insane.
Oh, why would you?
I don't know. My heart was slowing down. But it was like, he's like, I think they said something about his Hitlerian speech, and I thought that's funny. I didn't catch that Hitlerian speech. I don't know.
Is it those guys? Oh my goodness! I think for everybody at Canon 212.
Yep,
guys, 2018 is the year you make the call and get into therapy.
Yes,
I think we'd all be happier for you.
Yeah, and there are so many different. There's benzos. You know, there's just
SSRIs.
So
many.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of help out there, and you know, maybe don't buy that gun.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, you are a laugh riot. You know that? All right. Look, we have people at the Y. Do you have a resolution for people at the Y, Damon?
Yes, I do. On the running check.
Yep.
Stay in your fucking lane. Stop wandering in and out, and you're having
But the lines are only there, are there for, why are the lines there?
You have a walking lane.
Yep.
You have a running lane, and you have a passing lane.
Yep.
You don't have a, let's all my five golfing buddies just kind of like lump together chit-chat
with
about.
Still with the man buns. They show up at the Y with their man buns, and this is, you know.
Or they, what they do is they like do push-ups like half their body in the passing lane. It's like, and you're, as you're coming closer, like, well, I got to be sure to move over. And then you get right up to the special needs guy who's like halfway between the running lane and the walking lane.
Yeah. The special needs people, they get leeway.
They get leeway, but it's, but you're, I'm going to end up tripping on man bun.
I don't think man bun is a special need, is it?
I think he is.
Maybe.
I think that is.
There's more than one.
And
yes,
I know it's a cliche,
yep.
But in the locker room,
yep.
I don't need to see your wang. Cover it up. Use your towel.
I have nothing more to add to that. How about the band U2, Damien? Do you have an opinion about them?
I think we both appreciate U2's music.
Have for a long time. Big fans.
Good stuff. Octoon Baby is probably one of the best albums of the last 25 years.
I think Zooropa is very highly underrated.
I agree. Yeah. But let's face it, one of them needs to die.
Oh.
Doesn't have to be Bono. Maybe that bass player. He doesn't seem to be doing much. Do one of them needs to die.
Do you honestly think they haven't had this same conversation themselves, though, or their publicist? I just feel like, you know, decades ago, and even maybe, yeah, I guess decades ago, I mean, they were going through some pretty heavy stuff, and they had a lot of, they were wrestling with God, and they were, you know, they were going
sorting out their relationships.
Am I Judas, really? I mean, is it, and now, like they've been through all of that, and they're like fortune cookies at this point. This is how they came out on the other end.
This is what happens, like, when you buy the house in Malibu.
Yeah. Well, let's not do that.
Yeah. Well, I could sell out.
I would love to sell out. Are you kidding me?
You know, there's a bit in The Godfather. Mm-hmm. I'm not spoiling it, The Godfather, but after they kill McCluskey and Solano, the Turk, and it's going to look bad for the family.
Yep.
And they say, well, let's get our newspaper people on this. You know, the guys on the payroll. I'm like, where's the line for the payroll?
Yeah, it's
I will sign up for that
same
payroll.
Place where I keep my Jugal. That's where, you know, like I seem to have lost track of it somewhere.
If any members of the Corleone family are listening, I'm willing to help.
he's got a pen. This time he will have a pen with him. Right. I have, all right, you're being a resolution hog, Damien. I got one. I have a resolution for, all right, this is stupid. Christmas carols, okay? We've been singing Christmas carols. We're trying really hard to keep Christmas going all through Christmas, even though there's no more presents except for friggin' cake, apparently.
So and whatever we can find in our room. Here, stop crying.
It's a curtain rod. You like curtain rods. But so we light the Advent wreath, and instead of singing O Come Emmanuel, which we sang all through Advent, we were singing Christmas carols. And poor Benny, she's 6 years old. Her favorite Christmas carol happens to be Jingle Bells. And she kept on asking, we should sing Jingle Bells. I'm like, no, we can't sing Jingle Bells. So last night we sang Jingle Bells, and that was nice. And this time, tonight, we sang
Silent Night again.
Thank you. We sang Silent Night because we couldn't think of anything else. And I have been holding this down for 43 years, okay? But, okay.
This is much more of a New Hampshire problem, I think.
Maybe. But listen, okay. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Like how... out of sheer honesty, Silent Night, like somebody needs to do something about that verse. That's all I'm saying. Is it a pirate verse? Is it the three wise men and the pirates? Is that what's happening?
Yard.
Just fix it. All right. That's all right.
Let's skip that next one.
Yeah, we can skip it. It is kind of lame. All right. Okay. Femen. Femen.
Yeah, what does Femen do?
Okay,
again?
So they're the chicks who like protest stuff. Like apparently some guy got them together to.
You don't say.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Whenever they're mad about something, they take their tops off and they run around, and sometimes they paint stuff on themselves, and it helps, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is why the world is better now. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's different. So, one of them like ran up and tried to take the baby Jesus out of the nativity scene in the Vatican. Okay.
All right, but let's finish this.
My resolution for Femin, how about a little something for the leg guys? Or the butt guys?
I can't say I disagree.
You know? All right.
Yeah.
And I thought of that joke all by myself.
All right, so the baby Jesus. At a town I used to work at, this one lawyer... He did estate planning. He wasn't into criminal law. He just put out this enormous Christmas display in his yard every year, like life-size light-up statues, a huge nativity, Santa Claus on the roof, lights everywhere, mm-hmm. tin soldiers. It was ridiculous and gaudy, very very French-Canadian.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in that part of the world where we have a lot of French-Canadians.
Oh, my gosh. We drove up to Quebec one time. And you could tell you were getting closer and closer because the architecture got completely ridiculous.
Oh, crazy.
I was waiting for there to be some kind of, like, if there was an architectural pom-pom, it would have been on the house.
It would have been
there. Quebec. It will be forever. And we had a fever. Everybody in the family had a fever on that trip, as I recall. And the architecture was not helping.
No, it was not. It was very purple. Yeah. Anyway, so the huge display. And one year... the baby Jesus gets stolen. And this was when I was working as the crime reporter. Mm-hmm. So the baby Jesus gets stolen. I write up a quick story about it. And I see the deputy police chief, who's this one of the only cops I have ever been scared of in my life.
Oh.
Rock.
Oh, yes.
And I tell him, I said, oh, did you hear about the display? Because everybody knew the display. So, yeah, the baby Jesus got stolen. And he says, what? The next day it was returned.
Oh.
I don't know how he did it. I don't know what he did. Someone had something broken on them, and the baby Jesus was returned.
Oh,
Rock was not a religious man, but he wasn't putting up with that bullshit in his town.
Yeah, Rock, huh?
He's the guy. I may or may not have gotten some off the record information from Rock about certain members of the city council who were doing idiotic things, and Rock says, "Yeah, he's a fucking retard. They're all a bunch of fucking retards."
Off the record, though.
Off the record.
I don't know why we make fun of Canada, honestly. I know. Oh, all right. Well, whew, have we offended everybody?
Absolutely
everybody.
I hope so.
All right. I have a little, in lieu of a poem, I don't even know where it's from. I meant to look it up, but I forgot. I have a little paragraph here from E.B. White, who is is such a good writer.
Wait, before we get to this,
yeah.
Didn't we want to do resolutions for each other?
Oh, crap, I forgot. Do we have to? All right, mine is stupid.
You do yours.
All right, for you, your resolution, Damien, is that next time you want to buy a belt, just buy a belt. Instead of this man, we've been married for more than 20 years, and he has had two belts in the time that I've known him. And the first one, I forget. It was stupid. But it takes him a really long time to buy a belt. That's all. And it's like,
a belt now.
Okay, right. I know. But was it hard? Was it difficult?
Yes. But
well, why?
That's
stupid.
Don't know.
That's all.
I don't know.
All right. I just wanted to pick on you about it. What's yours?
My resolution for you.
Yeah.
One word.
Yeah.
Tassels.
Oh. Well, happy new year. Okay. We got to watch that Three Stooges thing where every time he sees tassels, he goes berserk and punches somebody. That'll learn you. All right. Here's my E.B. White thing. Are we ready? All right. This is actually a Christmas thing, but as you know, from heavens afar, it's still Christmas. So I am A-okay with this. All right. Here's what E.B. White says. From this high midtown hall, undecked with boughs, unfortified with mistletoe, we send forth our tinseled greetings as of old, to friends, to readers, to strangers of many conditions and many places. Merry Christmas to uncertified accountants, to tellers who have made a mistake in addition, to girls who have made a mistake in judgment, to grounded airline passengers and all those who can't eat clams. We greet with particular warmth people who wake and smell smoke. To captains of riverboats on snowy mornings, we send an answering toot at this holiday time. Merry Christmas to intellectuals and other despised minorities. Merry Christmas to the musicians of Muzak and men whose shoes don't fit. Greetings of the season to unemployed actors and the blacklisted everywhere who suffer for sins uncommitted. A holly thorn in the thumb for compilers of lists. Greeters to wives who can't find their glasses and to poets who can't find their rhymes. Merry Christmas to the unloved, the misunderstood, the overweight. Joy to the authors of books whose titles begin with the word how, as though they knew. Greetings to people with a ringing in their ears. Greetings to growers of gourds, to shearers of sheep, and to makers of change in the lowly underground booths. Merry Christmas to old men asleep in libraries. Merry Christmas to people who can't stay in the same room with a cat. We greet, too, the boarders in boarding houses on the 25th of December, the duennas in Central Park in fair weather and foul, the young lovers who got nothing in the mail. Merry Christmas to people who plant trees in city streets. Merry Christmas to people who save prairie chickens from extinction. Greetings of a purely mechanical sort to machines that think, plus a sprig of artificial holly. Joyous Yule to Cadillac owners whose conduct is unworthy of their car. Merry Christmas to the undefeated, the forgotten, the inept. Joy to all dandoprats and bunglers. We send, most particularly and most hopefully, our greetings and our prayers to soldiers and guardsmen on land and on sea and in the air, the young men doing the hardest things in the hardest time of life. To all such, Merry Christmas, blessings, and good luck. We greet the secretaries designate, the president-elect. Merry Christmas to our new leaders, peace on earth, goodwill, and good management. Merry Christmas to couples unhappy in doorways. Merry Christmas to all who think they are in love but aren't sure. Greetings to people waiting for trains that will take them in the wrong direction, to people doing up a bundle and the string is too short, to children with sleds and no snow. We greet ministers who can't think of a moral, gagmen who can't think of a joke. Greetings, too, to the inhabitants of other planets. See you soon. And last, we greet all skaters on small natural ponds at the edges of woods toward the end of the afternoon. Merry Christmas, skaters. Ring steel, grow red sky, die down wind. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good morrow.
Wow. I love that.
I got to find out where that comes from. What a guy. I don't know if I would want to mess with him at all. I would not want him for an editor because I would cry. I would just cry.
Yes.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.